3 public radio stations, 2 great American musical traditions, 1 unforgettable night in New York. WSHU, WQXR, and WBGO are co-hosting a classical and jazz celebration of America at 250 live at City Winery, with performances by clarinetist Anthony McGill, pianist Laura Downs, and vocalist Leslie Harrison, with the rich sounds of American music. June 1st at 7 p.m. Tickets and more information at WSHU.org.
This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A debate over car insurance rates continues to hold up the New York State budget. A tentative budget deal in Connecticut includes a boost for towns facing deficits. Plus, Long Islanders are defined by their waterways, but when the water comes closer, is it better to move away from the shoreline or bolster it? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Governor Kathy Hochul and legislative leaders in New York are considering whether to block car insurers from hiking rates without state approval. The New York Public News Network's John Campbell has more.
It's the latest in closed-door talks over the governor's push to reshape the state's auto insurance laws to bring down rates. The issue is holding up a final state budget. Hochul confirmed the discussions, but declined to get into any detail.
We're having conversations about all the drivers that are making it difficult for consumers and also looking at some of the rating. Yes, we are looking closely at how insurance companies set their rates.
State law allows insurers to hike their rates by 5% without state approval. The governor and legislative leaders are looking at eliminating that measure, but they haven't locked down a final deal. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
A tentative Connecticut budget deal includes spending $100 million from the Mashantucket Pequot Mohegan Fund to provide relief to cities and towns facing budget deficits. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The Pequot Fund is financed by revenues from the tribal casinos. It was established to provide financial support for towns, but it had been used in recent years for the general fund after the state had faced deficits. Speaker Matt Ritter says spending the money on municipal aid this year will provide relief to the state's largest cities and towns with deficits, including Bridgeport and Hartford.
It's one time in nature. We're hoping they'll use it to reduce property taxes or stabilize their budget for a couple years. Don't blow it all at once, but it's a grant they did not see coming.
Republican Minority Leader Vincent Candelora is concerned smaller towns might be left out.
If you're going to be giving this money to our cities, you have to recognize towns are in just as much of a distress as our cities.
Lawmakers say the deal on the adjustments to the second year of the state's biannual budget might be ready for a vote by Saturday. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York is urging the Department of Education to immediately process almost 650,000 pending applications for student loan repayment plans. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
She says she expects that backlog to grow as the popular repayment option known as the SAVE plan gets phased out this summer. Those borrowers, about 7 million nationwide, will likely apply for other income-driven repayment plans or loan forgiveness. Gillibrand says the delays aren't fair for borrowers who are already facing higher prices on food, gas, and other necessities.
Those applicants are being forced to wait months or even years for a decision, watching interest pile up on their loans in the meantime.
Almost 2.5 million New Yorkers carry student loan debt, according to the Education Data Initiative. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Long Islanders are defined by their waterways. But when the water comes closer, is it better to back away from the coast or bolster it? That story is coming up.
A Hitchcock classic on the big screen and a conversation afterwards. WSHU invites you to a Join the Conversation event featuring The 39 Steps, the 1935 thriller about an innocent man caught in a dangerous web of spies. After the screening, stay for a conversation with Hitchcock scholar and Sacred Heart University professor Sid Gottlieb. Join the conversation Thursday, April 30th at 7 p.m. at the SHU Community Theater in Fairfield. Details and tickets at WSHU.org.
A judge will dismiss charges against former Suffolk County Police Chief James Burke, accused of exposing himself to a park ranger in 2023. Burke was Suffolk's top cop from 2012 to 2015 and went to jail for beating a prisoner. The judge said Burke will have to avoid any issues with police for 6 months. Bridgeport officials rejected a plan to sell the former Bassick High School building to a New York City developer for $6 million. The city's zoning commission says it thinks it can get more money for the property, which a local assessor valued at nearly $50 million. Connecticut representatives have approved a bill that would allow in-home dental hygienist visits. Advocates say it would help elderly or disabled people get dental care more easily. It would expand state laws that allow hygienists to work in some public spaces, like nursing homes. Connecticut and New York are among 24 states calling on credit card companies to block illegal vape sales. New York State Attorney General Letitia James is the lead on the initiative. They asked the companies not to approve sales of vape products the FDA hasn't approved. Bays, harbors, inlets, Long Islanders are defined by their waterways. But when the water comes closer, is it better to back away from the coast or bolster it? That was the question up for debate at a recent Stony Brook University Global Environmental Forum.
By moving people away from coastlines and focusing on nature-based solutions, we can create longer-term protections from disastrous storm surges.
Who gets displaced and why in a managed retreat system will not be left up to the people who are displaced.
The city is spending billions on flood infrastructure that they recognize is not a permanent solution.
We're already down the road on the installation of coastal defense systems, but the affirmative wishes to ignore the risks of reversing course midway.
Superstorm Sandy in 2012 brought these kinds of conversations to the forefront in our region. Long Island saw major dune erosion, entire South Shore communities inundated with flooding, and critical infrastructure damaged. Since then, efforts to prepare for future storms have been mostly dominated by coastline bolstering, a plan favored by NYU student Eric Messick. The debate was over New York City here.
Every plan has costs and drawbacks, but coastal defense is more immediate, protects vulnerable communities better, and cost less. There's no reason to wait for permanence when a major flood could hit next year.
The Fire Island to Montauk Point Project, or FIMP, finally got underway in 2023 after 6 decades. It'll use around 450,000 cubic yards of sand to bolster dunes and extend the beachfront along 83 miles of Long Island's South Shore. Periodic replenishment will take place every 3 to 4 years for 3 decades after that project is complete.
While it is true that coastal defense can be implemented faster than managed retreat, the time frame of retreat is superior.
That's NYU student Eleanor Adams, who took the other side of the debate. Her major argument against defense, it's a band-aid.
Coastal defense won't permanently protect against climate change and rising sea levels. If we start retreating now, we have a better chance at meeting that challenge when it comes. And it will come.
Retreat has been tried in a handful of Long Island communities, too. For example, in Mastic Beach, a New York State voluntary home buyout program seeks to turn some of the area back to its natural wetland landscape, nature's way of soaking up floodwaters. Now, asking people to move their home or business, yeah, that could be a tough sell. Plus, as Eric points out, there's the potential impact on lower-income communities.
The rich elites exercising political control from high-rises in the financial district aren't moving. Endorsing managed retreat means letting those elites stay while vulnerable and underrepresented communities are forced to flee, whether everyone in those communities wants to or not.
But maybe the solution is a combination of both. Dr. Allison Branco is director of climate adaptation at the Nature Conservancy.
When it's already, you know, so far too late, which is the case in a lot of places, sometimes you do have to build hard infrastructure to protect people and other infrastructure that's behind it. But what you need to do is use the time that that buys you to have the hard conversation that Eleanor mentioned people are avoiding.
She says New York State has historically not been great about maintaining infrastructure.
So if you're going to put them in, you've got to use that time it buys you to start the harder conversation about the long-term thriving future for your community, which, like it or not, will have a lot more water.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration projects U.S. coastlines will see about a foot of sea level rise by the year 2050. For now, the shoreline is still here, but the choices about its future are closing in. So when it comes to retreat versus defend, it might be about how much time either can buy. Sabrina Garone, WSHU News. For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. And for instant access to your favorite programs and podcasts and playlists from our classical music programs, download the free WSHU app today on the App Store or Google Play. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.